Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Do you remember the book, The Giving Tree, by Shel Silverstein? It begins with an apple tree. The tree loved a small boy, and the boy loved the tree too. He would often come to play with the tree. The boy would gather her leaves and climb up in her trunk and swing from her branches. The boy spent a lot of time with the tree. The tree would give the boy shade while he ate her apples. And they had a lot of fun together and were both very happy. But time went by and the boy started growing up. He visited the tree less and less as he grew older, and the tree grew very lonely. After a while, the boy came back. The tree wanted to be happy with the boy again, but the boy wasn't there to play. The boy wanted to make money. The tree wanted to make the boy happy, so she gave him all of her apples to sell. More time passed, and finally the boy came back again, and he wanted to build a house. So the tree gave him all of her branches. The tree didn't have much more to give, but she still tried. And the boy came back and wanted a boat to sail away, so the tree gave the boy her trunk and told him to build a boat out of it. Every time the tree gave something to the boy, she felt happy. So she continued to give. Much later, the boy came back, and the boy was very old now and didn't need much. Yet the tree still wished to give him something. At this point, the tree had almost nothing. She was just an old stump in the forest. The tree offered her stump as a chair for the boy, and the boy was happy, and so was the tree. The giving tree. The story of unconditional love given from a tree to a boy. Love that was visible in the way that the tree cared for the boy. And in today's passage, we look at the love of Jesus as he passes it down to his followers. Jesus begins this passage saying, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus is beginning to help his followers to look forward to the future, to make a plan for the way that they will live their lives when he is no longer with them, and the ways that they will embrace the love that Jesus has shown them in their own lives. And Jesus uses the Passover to demonstrate his unconditional love for them that they are called to share. In the chapter just before this, Jesus ties a towel around his waist, kneels down, and washes the disciples' feet. He bows at the feet of his followers as their teacher and Lord shows them that the love of God has no hierarchy, and the truth of God calls us to be neighbor and to love one another. The model that Jesus extends to his disciples in the washing of the feet sets up this conversation for them looking toward the future, when Jesus will no longer walk among them. He knows that he will soon be leaving them, and they're called to continue the work and the love of Christ in the world without him. But he assures them that they will not be left alone, that an advocate, the Holy Spirit, will be with them, guiding them, and showing them the way to continue the work of Christ. And he reassures them that they will not be left alone. I can imagine the way that the disciples would feel, alone and unsure of how to do this work without Jesus. But he's reassuring them that he does not leave them, but works within each of them. Jesus is trying to make something very plain for his followers. All he asks of them is to embrace the love that he has demonstrated for them as a goal for their own lives. Jesus is preparing to send them out into new territory, into a world that might not be welcoming of the message of love and care for the stranger. But the love that Jesus calls them to practice is one that they have seen on display in their journey together. We're given the same model in our own lives. In these days when life is chaotic, yet eerily slow. In the days when the life we knew in February no longer exists, we are extended this call and love of Christ to care for one another, to love one another, and to show one another the love of Christ even when we cannot be physically together. I'm sure you've seen the stories of people showing compassion to strangers, nurses who held the hand of someone who could not be with their family in their final moments, care for neighbors who cannot leave the house by dropping off groceries, or strangers sharing toilet paper. These stories and these acts of kindness that may have seemed so small many months ago are acts of love in Christ being shared with strangers and friends. And in these days, when we may feel alone and isolated, Jesus reminded the disciples, and he reminds us that we are not orphans sent into the world alone, but we are reminded that Jesus walks with us, the Holy Spirit works through us, and there may be days when we cannot see the way that Christ is working in our lives. But even in those moments, Jesus is visible. And we are still a community of faith, even in these days when we cannot gather together. While we haven't gathered together in about 2 months, we have not been orphaned. We are not alone, and we are not forgotten. These are the days in which Christ reminds us that he loved us unconditionally, and that in keeping his commandment, we are honoring the love given to us by caring for the neighbor and the stranger, and by the way that we will live our lives in this new normal of social distancing and excessive hand washing and caring for the hearts of others. So what does love look like in these days? How is the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit illuminating our world? Rebecca went to the grocery store one afternoon. As she was walking, she heard a woman yelling at her from her car. Rebecca walked over and saw an elderly woman and her husband. She cracked the window a bit and explained to her, nearly in tears, that she was afraid to go into the store, afraid to get sick as they were in their 80s, and here the coronavirus is affecting older people. And they don't have family around to help them out. And through the crack of the window, she handed Rebecca a $100 bill and their grocery list, and asked if she would be willing to go buy their groceries. She bought the groceries and placed them in their trunk and gave back the change. And the woman told Rebecca that they had been sitting in their car for nearly 45 minutes before she had arrived, waiting to ask the right person for help. Rebecca said, "I know that it's a time of hysteria and nerves, but offer to help anyone you can. Not everyone has people to turn to." We are the church. We are Christians now as much as ever. And Christ instilled in the disciples and instills in each of us the gift, the power, and the knowledge to keep the commandment of loving and caring for each other. We are given the Holy Spirit as an advocate and a guide to show us the ways that we are to act in these new days of our lives. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. When we begin to see that when love is a condition of all things, and when love is both infinite and practiced, that love will override all. The love that Jesus wants his hearers to embrace is not this abstract philosophical concept, but the lived reality revealed in the life and the relationships and the actions of a simple Nazarene who looks and talks like them and lives simply among them. He feeds the hungry, and he touches lepers and heals the sick and speaks and acts toward women with care and regard. Love is seen in the life of service and compassion and instilled in each of us on our journey of faith. When we work together as community, hope is born. Jesus teaches of the love of God, demonstrates the love of God, and passes it down to his disciples and each of us to continue the story and continue the chain. We are living in a time of difficulty, of illness, of frustration, depression, anxiety, confusion, and heartache. But where there is darkness, there is hope. And we carry the light of the world within each of us to help illuminate the love of God that is within us. Jesus was not leaving his disciples orphaned. We are not separated from one another for long. This will not last forever, but not ever truly alone. With the Holy Spirit, the advocate and the friend who reminds us each day of the love of God given to us unconditionally in his Son. Keep the commandment of the one who revealed himself to us in his words and his actions and gives us the message to carry on. Beth was sitting in an airport terminal waiting to board a plane. As she waited, she noticed that people around her were staring at something behind her. She turned around to see a flight attendant pushing a wheelchair with a man in it. He had this long white hair that was a tangled mess. His face was really, really wrinkled, and he didn't look very friendly at all. She said she didn't know why, but she felt drawn to this man. No matter what she did, she couldn't get the man off of her mind. And all of a sudden, she knew what she was supposed to do. So she went down and she knelt in front of the old man and said, "Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair?" And he said, "What?" She thought, "Oh, great." So a little bit louder, she said, "Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair for you?" And he answered and he said, "If you're going to talk to me, you're going to have to speak up." So this time she's almost yelling at him, "Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair?" So with everyone watching to see what his response would be, the old man just looked at her and confused and said, "Well, I guess if you really want to." She said, "I don't even have a brush, but I thought I would ask anyway." And he said, "Look in the bag at the back of my chair. There's a brush in there." She got out the brush and started brushing his hair. She had a little girl with long hair, so she knew she had lots of practice to get the tangles out. And she knew how to be gentle with him. She worked for a long time until every last tangle was out. And just as she was finishing up, she heard the old man crying. She went and put her hands on his knees, kneeling in front of him, looking directly into his eyes and said, "Sir, do you know Jesus?" He answered and he said, "Yes, of course, I know Jesus. You see, my bride told me she couldn't marry me unless I knew Jesus. So I learned all about him and asked him to come into my heart many years ago before I married my bride. And he continued and he said, you know, I am on my way home to go see my wife. I've been in the hospital for a long time. I had to have a special surgery in a town far from my home, and my wife couldn't come see me because she was so frail herself. He said, I was so worried about how terrible my hair looked, and I didn't want her to see me looking so awful, but I couldn't brush my hair all by myself. Tears were rolling down his cheeks as he thanked Beth for brushing his hair. He thanked her over and over again. She was crying, and people all around witnessing this were crying as well. And they were all boarding the plane as the flight attendant said, why did you do that? And right there was an opportunity, the door that had been opened to share with someone else, the love of God. We don't always understand God's ways, but be ready. He may use us to meet the need of someone else. While obviously this happened before the days that we were living in, we are still living in a time in our lives where we're called to be a neighbor, to be a helper, to be a model of the love of Christ. Even at a distance, we're called to see the need and act, even when we're 6 feet away. We're called to live in Christ's image, maybe not in the same space as one another. It's hard. These days are confusing to live out. And when we see a need, but often, we may not be able to act in the way that we have imagined, but we're called to act out the love of Christ. He invites us to do so. I know we're all getting a little anxious and stir crazy at times. It's understandable. There are some who are ready to get out of the house, and others who will continue to be unsure about leaving their homes for the next few months. But in these days, the way that we can share in Jesus' commandment and the way that we are called to extend the love and care for one another, maybe through a phone call, a note, extending the offer to help with groceries, a prayer, and many other ways we haven't even thought of yet. Jesus was trying to make a plan for his followers, and all he asks of them is to embrace the love that he had lived among them as a goal for their lives and for our own. So how will you model the love of God, the call of Christ, with the power and vision given to each of us through the Holy Spirit? How will you go where God is calling you in new ways, seeking new opportunities to share the love that Christ demonstrated for each of us? Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.